You want to say hi? No? I know. A lot of funny looking people, but that's okay. We love them anyways. Just as they love us for being funny looking too, right? So about 2.5 years ago, as many of you all know, Caleb was having seizures. He was having infantile spasm seizures, which manifest kind of looks like the startle reflex of a baby. So he just kind of had these clusters, and his development stopped. Didn't realize until later, oh, he hasn't smiled in weeks or months. And long story short, we went to the hospital here, sent us to Shands at University of Florida, and there the doctor knew what it was, very rare seizure disorder. But he's treated, you know, probably a couple kids a year. And so he said, well, you have two medications you can try. One has 55% chance of working. The other one has 60% chance of working. So we went with the one with 60 or something around those lane, something around there. And so the medication has 60% chance of working. And as of that, he gave it to him and didn't have any more seizures. That was May of 2017, so a big praise for that. But the reason why he's up here, his development stopped for about 2 months. And when, you know, that's pretty critical time when a child is four, five, six months old, when your development stops, a lot of stuff happens there. And so he was still breastfeeding, didn't want anything solid to eat. All he wanted was yogurt because his palate wasn't, the mouth wasn't strong enough. And eventually he got weaned off of yogurt, and now he eats. Do you eat everything? You like to eat everything? No, you're embarrassed. Okay. I know, I took you away from Mary Lou. I'm sorry, that's my fault. Shouldn't have taken you away from Mary Lou. But his food, the eating developed, and so he went to eating therapist, food therapist, and a speech therapist, and been doing that for a while, and those who interact with him, his speech has been getting better. And this Thursday, when Rachel took him in, they did an assessment. You know, you do an assessment every once in a while, figure out where he is, where you want to go. And it turns out he's at age level for his expressive language abilities, which is a huge praise. So thank you all so much for praying for him. He's at age level for expressive, and he's actually a little bit ahead of schedule for receptive, whatever that word. But that's just a huge praise to our God that, you know, he healed up Caleb, who was delayed, and now he'll be turning 3 on October 3rd, right? 3 on October 3rd. And so while they believe his words are there, his articulation is poor. But the speech therapist says, well, I don't know, maybe in 6 months come back, but right now that'll just catch up as he's around people talking, because he's grown so much over the past couple of months. So, you know, don't bother coming here once a week, because he'll just naturally catch back up, which is a huge praise. So I want to just thank you all, and just a praise here. Just want to consider how to stir one up to the love and good works. Keep on praying. Our God is a powerful, awesome, wonderful God. If he can bring this little guy to speaking and talking and growing and developing like any normal obnoxious 2-year-old, then lovable obnoxious. You're lovable, right? Okay. So I just want to celebrate that with you, and thank you again for all your prayers and all your support. Very exciting time for us, so thank you all. Just wanted to share this with you, and I'll share. Randy, do you want to share your praise? Do you want to run up here and share, or share from back there? Or? All right, just be loud. Praise God. So he is still our healer. God is doing amazing things. I just want to encourage your faith, encourage you as you go out to lean into these situations where there's nothing you can you can do, well, he's still our healer. He still heals. He still does miraculous. You and I, we can't change people's hearts for salvation. I can't argue anybody into heaven. You can't argue anybody into heaven. But the Lord can work on people's hearts. So I encourage you to lean into these impossible situations and see what the Lord does. With this, we're going to switch into our message here this morning. This is the first of 8 weeks looking at the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be in the Beatitudes. Next week, we'll look at being salt and light, salt and light. But this week, the Beatitudes kind of look at the heart. So I would encourage you, as we look at these at the beginning of these 8 weeks, I see the Beatitudes as kind of the foundation. If we don't get our hearts right with the Beatitudes, or with these things that Jesus is going to preach on, Jesus is going to share, well, the other stuff, the other 7 weeks are just kind of, they flow out of having the correct heart. They flow out of having your heart right in everything. So I encourage us, each of us, and I'll give us time to respond at the end of this message to one or perhaps all, how many do I have here? 8 or 9 different aspects here, 9 different aspects of that the Lord might be prompting on our hearts. Let me pray for our time together here this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are our healer. On the cross, yes, you died for our sins, but you also took our illnesses and bore our diseases on the cross, and we're so grateful for the richness that is in your sacrificial death for us. Just leaves us in awe. Lord, I pray for this time as we spend together opening up your word, that you would speak into our hearts, you would speak through me. Lord, give me your power and your unction to preach your word. May we all walk out of here changed as a result of hearing from you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Like it says, there will be Matthew chapter 5. Verses will be up on the screen. Let me go ahead and read through all these, and then we'll start to pick them apart. Matthew chapter 5 says, "Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and then he sat down, and his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus, seeing the crowds, he went up to the mountains. Verse 1 says, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them. There was, he was ministering to great crowds in Galilee. He goes, sees the crowds, and chooses to go up to the mountain. Before we, well, I guess we'll hit that in just a moment. But he sits down, and he assumes this typical rabbinic position of sitting down. It says his disciples, they came to him. So this is more than just the 12 apostles. This is probably going to be the 50, 70, 100, who knows how many of his disciples are following him. But it's important to note there that in this crowd, these are all people who are either actively following Jesus right now, or they're very interested in drawing him. There doesn't seem to be any of the antagonists, the Pharisees, the leaders, or they could be there mixed into the group. But much like coming to church on Sunday morning, these are the folks that are interested in hearing what Jesus says. It says that he opened his mouth and he taught them. Who are the them? I believe that Jesus is specifically focusing on the disciples, those who are closely following him, but he's also teaching to those who are listening, are going to benefit from them. I believe that these Beatitudes and the rest of these things is trying to another way to equip and build up and raise up those disciples, those who were interested in following him. Remember, a disciple is somebody whose priorities and character match those of Christ and are interested in reproducing that and modeling that in others. So Jesus is pouring into them. How does he change their character? And there's going to be a lot about the character, talking about the heart here in these Beatitudes. But certainly anybody who's interested in Jesus or desiring to follow Jesus or will follow Jesus in the future, these are important words. The heart of a person doesn't just matter for the leaders. The heart of the person matters for all followers of Christ. So it goes into these Beatitudes, these blessed. And what does blessed mean? It means fortunate. It means happy, mostly fortunate. So as we go, when fortunate are the blank, and fortunate are, so blessed, first one in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it's worth noting here, as he addresses all these Beatitudes, who has been the rulers, who has been the leaders, has been the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all these other folks, and they've gotten off from God's heart. Yeah, they have the scripture, but as you and I know, we can take the scripture and we can twist it and wrangle it and have it say what we want to say. It's not reflecting the heart of God. You can use different passages of scripture, and we see it as we engage with society. And one side will use one and completely tear down the homosexuals, and we'll have the homosexuals, they'll use other scripture verses to build up their case. Same Bible, same inerrant word of God. It's just, are we hearing the heart of God? So God, Jesus here is trying to explain to these, kind of unteach what they've been taught. And you don't need, for a lot of these, we haven't had Pharisees teaching us, but a lot of these things are going to be counter to us, counter-cultural, counter-fleshly. Because we live in a world of the self-made man, don't we? The person, just pick yourself up by the bootstraps. If you work hard and you do it and you sacrifice everything, you can have success. And sure, you can have lots of success. You can have incredibly worldly success. You can be a manager, CEO, whatever, by being very cutthroat. Are those the attributes that Jesus would have? So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who are the poor in spirit? Well, we know what poor means. Poor means lacking. If you're financially poor, you're lacking money. Poor in spirit here, those who consciously depend on God. Not themselves. They have no ability in themselves to please God. So those who recognize and reckon this fact that I am poor in spirit, there's nothing in my spirit, in my flesh, about me to please God. And just remember, as Jesus is teaching, all of Jesus' ministry is in the previous age, the previous dispensation. All of Jesus' teaching is underneath the law. These folks aren't all indwelt with the Holy Spirit. They haven't been covered by the blood of Jesus. Yes, since the foundation of the world, Jesus was crucified. But at this particular point, they're not under that teaching. They're not under that principle. So those who have no ability to please themselves, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who recognize, man, I got nothing. And of course, this would be an immediate, perhaps, jab towards the Pharisees, who, based on their own righteousness, oh man, I'm keeping 613 laws. You know what? I'll do better than that. Let's double that. Let's triple that. Let's do all these other things that have nothing to do. Well, not nothing to do. They're perhaps based on Scripture, but we're going to add to that. Man, how fortunate are you when you realize, I have nothing in me to please God. Okay, fine, I did something nice. But I'm still a wretched sinner. They're born with this sin. There's nothing in there. What do we see here in Romans chapter 3, verse 10? I believe I heard it in Sunday school. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And so as we reckon that truth, man, how fortunate are you? Lord, I need you. But that requires humility. Humility isn't often rewarded in this world. Humility is seen as weakness, as we're going to see meekness down the line. It's a weak trait. Oh, man, you got nothing. I got nothing to offer. Who wants a leader to stand up and say, I got nothing for you all? A pastor, an elder, says, I got nothing. Jesus starts very bluntly and plainly about the kingdom of heaven, salvation, where its residents are, where they will be. Humility takes a look at yourself and sees yourself accurately. Remember, Paul said he's the worst of all sinners. Paul was pretty accomplished for the Lord. He says, Lord, I need you. But of course, our human logic says don't show where you're weak, where you're struggling, where you're in need. It doesn't work out very well. But blessed, how fortunate are the poor in spirit. Now, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those, Lord, I need you. God, I need you. And then underneath the law, that was in there. What about all these sacrifices? Well, yeah, I need the blood of bulls and goats to cover my sin, to cover my iniquities. Lord, I need you. I need this grace that you've given us. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who recognize their needs, present them to the one who's able to assist them. This mourning, this grief caused by personal sin and loss and oppression, everything. The Lord's there to comfort. God comforts those who mourn. Because the word comforts those who mourn their sin. That God's desire is not that, well, yeah, messed up again. Oh, well, nothing wrong. Where we have the true life transformation. Lord, whoa. How did I allow myself to get this far? Thank you for loving the Lord. And you mourn, you weep the sin, and God picks you up. But what's wonderful, so as we mourn, Romans 5:1, I love it, says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we've been declared righteous by our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have comfort there in those verses. And no matter how much you've screwed up, no matter how much you've messed up, there's a God who's you're at peace with, but only comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't come with making our own amends, doing our own thing, doing our own whatever. It comes from the Lord. Blessed are the meek. Fortunate are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. These meek, these truly humble. The best word, actually, it's translated a couple other places in Scripture, this meek, blessed are the gentle. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. They have a proper appreciation of their position. Another counter-cultural thing. Remember, it's the aggressive, non-gentle person who wins out, who muscles out the competition, who rises to the top as you're fighting for whatever position. It happens in churches. It happens in business. It happens everywhere. All right, let them have those victories. All right, fine. You want that, have that. So it's the gentle that will inherit the earth. Not the brash, the abrasive, all those things, but the truly humble, the gentle. Jesus was like this. Remember his arrest? After Jesus is in the garden and they come to arrest him, Judas kisses him on the cheek. Peter pulls out the sword. He's going to defend the Lord. He's going to defend Jesus, which is not necessarily wrong, except for the fact that it is wrong. I mean, it was well-intentioned, but Jesus says, put your sword back into its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. If you want to live this standard of life, this is what's going to happen. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send more than 12 legions of angels? Our meekness, our gentleness recognizes that if it's not going my way, God can intervene. That doesn't mean that we're not supposed to take action as the Lord deems action. But God can intervene. He can make it happen. I don't need to give into the flesh. I need to yield to the Holy Spirit. How fortunate are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Bigger than anything that you're fighting for, anything that bigger that we're fighting for, aggressively trying to do whatever. Their inheritance is the earth. Well, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Have this spiritual appetite, this continued desire for personal righteousness. That person will be satisfied. If we look at the opposite, the flip side, we could think of probably an infinite number of other things where we're not going to get satisfied. We might be happy for a brief period. It's not how fortunate are you, hunger and thirst, for catching more fish. If I can just get one more fish, come on, just one more cast. It turns into another cast, and then you're there a couple more hours, and all right, this is great. What if I just had more fish? Oh, blessed are those, you know, you're not fortunate, just one more chip. And so you start with eating just a little single-sized portion. That's a really small, if you've ever looked at the portion side of chips, that's like nothing. But we go with just a little bit of a bowl full, and before you know it, you're eating the Sam's Club bag. And your stomach is full, but you're not satisfied because you feel like complete garbage afterwards, don't you? So when we follow the fleshly things, when we hunger and thirst for all these things, you could look at alcohol, for example. You hunger and thirst, and so as folks are struggling with addiction, and so you get that high, but it only lasts for a little bit, and then when you're coming down and you get the hangover and you feel worse, and because you know that, so if you start out here, you go up, you're feeling good, but when you bottom out, you're feeling even worse in that next day period. There's no satisfaction there. This can go with anything, but we hunger and thirst for righteousness, for that. All right, Lord, what's that in your eyes? That desire to see God's standards established and obeyed in our lives. Well, we'll be satisfied. We'll be satisfied in those things. I was satisfied. It was a number of years ago, sharing the gospel with my sister. Spent about 30 minutes on the phone with her. Felt like I said everything the Lord wanted. And as you know, she's still a Muslim today. But I felt satisfied at the end of the conversation. I said exactly what the Lord wanted me to, the way He wanted to. I didn't leave feeling, well, my objective, well, obviously it would have been wonderful if she came to accept Jesus as her Savior. But she didn't. But I was satisfied. I did exactly what the Lord had said. And so, as we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we can have satisfaction in those things. We can have satisfaction in Him. That's why we're doing this Sunday night series, the Desiring God, or Pursuit of God. Looking at that deeper life, having that deeper life with God is where we experience that satisfaction. Many of us will be happy when our homes are completed, amen? We can be living back in our homes. We cannot be doing all sorts of whatever. It's not what's going to satisfy us deeply. Yes, we need to have the roof over and we can focus on more important things. But with God, that we can have that most important thing. There is true, genuine joy and actual satisfaction in His righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. How fortunate those that extend mercy to others, demonstrating God's mercy, which is expended to them. Way to define mercy, compassion to the miserable, or compassion for the miserable, those who are in miserable circumstances, showing that compassion to them. It's a mark of the fruit of the Spirit, that first fruit of the Spirit, that love, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, having that mercy, that love for somebody. What did Jesus say? Matthew 25, truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these my brothers, you did to me. Now they get to receive the kingdom that's prepared for them. They get to receive mercy from the Lord. Again, Jesus says, if you had known what it means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Remember, Jesus said that a few weeks ago as as his disciples were going through and picking doing some harvesting, plucking the grain, they were harvesting and they were doing all this work. Well, Jesus said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, not doing all these. Jesus cares about the heart. It's interesting, we're all created in God's image, and so some of these things are kind of countercultural, but some of these other things will kind of resonate even outside of Christendom. Look at the, some folks that are big in karma. If you do something nice is going to happen to you. And it's not karma, it's Jesus, it's God. But as we're acting merciful, we'll receive mercy from the Lord. We'll have to show mercy for those who exhibit these traces. The Lord's will not be, or the world will not be lifting them up, but the Lord will. So when a brother exhibits brokenness for their fleshly behaviors, the mourning, the gentleness, etc., we want to come in there with the mercy, not, yeah, you're right, you shouldn't have been looking at pornography, you idiot. Well, yeah, they already know that. Show the mercy, the compassion, the love. We receive mercy in this life and the next from God. We receive forgiveness. Continuing on, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This inward cleanliness from sin through faith in God, his provision, continual acknowledgement of the sinful condition. It's great on the cross and through our faith in Jesus, we are positionally sanctified. We are positionally set apart from God, apart from the sin. We are his. But it doesn't mean we always have the purity in heart. Paul writes, if we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. But as we walk and we give in, you know what, I just really rather do these things. I take this over the things of God, and we quench the Holy Spirit. We quench the purity in our heart. We miss the deeper life with him. We miss, when we're with that purity, we get that cloudiness, and we're not able to see God fully for who he is. We're not able to hear him, to discern who he is. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Those who show others how to have inward peace with God and how to be instruments of peace in this world. Those who work for this shalom, the wholeness and harmony, rather than strife and discord in all aspects of their life. Blessed are those, how fortunate are those that are making this peace. They'll be sons of God. We know Jesus died on the cross to bring peace. To bring peace between God and mankind. The interesting thing is Jesus also said, I'm going to divide mother and child, I'm going to divide families amongst themselves. So in bringing peace, we don't want to confuse it with just a blanket, let's just everybody kumbaya and get along. Well, sometimes there's truth in all these things. We look at three types of people, the peacemaker, the person that brings peace, that leans into difficult situations, speaks the truth in love. Jesus spoke the truth in love in a way that turned wayward hearts back to the Father. Others, they just ignored it, like the Pharisees. So we have the peacemaker. We have the peace breaker, those who are not interested at all in peace, but simply satisfy their own flesh, the Pharisees. No matter how many times Jesus healed, and what was their response? They saw this man healed, and we need to find a way to kill this guy. Man, their hearts are just so far away from the Lord. So if we have the peacemaker, the peace breaker, we also have in this life the peace faker. Those folks who we pretend to play nice, we try to make everybody happy rather than bring genuine peace, and at the end of the day, nobody wins. There's no genuineness, there's no living, leaning in with truth and love. Not bringing apart any resolution, no bringing any actual peace. And these peacemakers are called sons of God because, like the Son, they bring peace with the Father. Now a little persecution. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. He's persecuted, they're attacked verbally or physically for the sake of Jesus, for his righteousness. Remember, you're not fortunate when you're persecuted for doing something stupid. Well, that's just natural consequences. That's discipline from the Lord for not doing the wise thing. Well, for righteousness' sake, for the name of Jesus. But fortunate are you when others revile you, persecute you, and other utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Once again, the key word there is falsely. You're not fortunate when you deserve it, when these are actual, factual, representative statements about you. It says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Hey, disciples, there's a great line of godly men who were in these shoes. We've got a few of them here. Look at Elijah, 1 Kings 19. Jezebel promised to kill him because he killed the false prophets. Micaiah, king of Israel, hated him because he doesn't say what he wants to hear. He only says what's from God. So he gets this hate, this disdain. What about Jeremiah? He prophesied against Jerusalem. So the priests and the prophets, well, they said he must die. What about Daniel? Well, he's got a couple of things going on in there. The Babylonians against him, and then Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you know, refusing to worship Nebuchadnezzar's image, praying to God. So we have the fiery furnace. We have the lion's den. Lord provided for them in those instances. We have Amos. He prophesied that Jeroboam would die in Israel into exile. And Amaziah the priest wanted him exiled. You can't be speaking against these things. Well, they only say what is from God. That's what a prophet is. A prophet is speaking something directly from God to the people. And we want to be very careful if we try to put on that prophecy hat, that prophet hat. There was a very high standard in the Old Testament. I still believe God holds a high standard, because we're saying this is coming from God word for word, and the consequence of a false prophet is a dead prophet. Because you don't want to say these are things from God if they are not. Why are these fortunate? These people are fortunate. They're blessed because they're putting themselves to the side, and Lord, this is all about you. I know the consequences. I know what can happen, but Lord, you're more important. And this is going to take time in our walk with Christ to get to that point. Wow, Lord, you're so much more important than whatever people say or think or do. You're more important than that. So we close out today. God, big thing, God cares about the heart. That's the big thing here. That's why I said, if we can't move past these Beatitudes, the rest of the Sermon on the Mount and the rest of everything else, it'll be nice things we can put on top of them, nice little patches on our faith. But if we don't get the heart right, then we're going to be off here. David was a great man after God's own heart. Made a lot of foolish mistakes. I like what he writes here, Psalm 51. You can read the whole thing. Here's just some highlights. He writes, goes to God, have mercy on me, O God. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. This is the mindset that we ought to have. For I know my transgression, my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. You all seen these different Beatitudes represented here in David? And finally, verse 10, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. I'll be a priest. I'll lean into those situations. This is how another way to reword the Beatitudes. This is the heart that God wants for each of us. This genuine humility, this willingness not to pretend and deceive others about that we're better than we are, than we're more, whatever. Not to deceive ourselves, most importantly. That we're strong enough. Because I'll tell you what, you're not strong enough. I believe God has intentionally burdened us more than we can bear so that we can humbly turn to God for his love, his help, his mercy. When we're doing okay, if we're honest, we don't need God and we don't turn to God. But as we realize how stacked things are against us in the world, how overwhelmed we are, we turn to God more frequently. In this Psalm 51, the Beatitudes, we can't do any of this without God. We can't do any of this without his Holy Spirit. So if you don't grasp any of this, resonate this in your heart, pursue God for this, the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, like I said, will be out of reach because it all flows from our heart. So now we're going to take a brief time of prayer before we go to the Lord. Lord, for our closing hymn, our closing song. And so I'm just gonna work our way through each of these Beatitudes. We're gonna pray through these, and as the Holy Spirit lays one of these, it resonates, say, yeah, you know what? I need a little bit more of that. Yeah, Lord, I need more of that. We'll just go ahead and pray in your hearts as I pray through these. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, how desperately we need you. How desperately we need to know that we need you deeper. So as we go through these items, like I said, if they resonate with your heart, just pray with me. First, the poor in spirit. Theirs is the ability to please God. Lord, some of us here, we need to have that realization. Lord, there's no way I can please you in my flesh. Help me to remember each day, I can't please you. Humble me. Bring my spirit to resonate with yours. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Lord, help some of us to grieve our sin. Help of us, some of us, to not be okay with those things that grieve you. Lord, place in our hearts that mourning. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Some of us need gentleness. Our flesh fights against it, but we know, coming from your word, from you, Lord, we need more gentleness. Let the results fall where they may. Let people's thoughts fall where they may. Lord, help us to be more gentle. Help us to be more like you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Lord, we pray for desire for personal holiness. Help us to want you. Lord, help create in us that new heart that hungers and thirsts for that personal righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Lord, help us not to be vengeful and seek the wrath on our own. And Lord, help us to have the mercy that you have, the mercy towards brothers and sisters, mercy to those around us. Lord, give us a merciful heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Lord, help us to have a lifestyle that's pleasing to you, with single-minded devotion to you, Lord. Give us that purity in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Some of us like to lean into confrontation for the wrong way. Some of us run and hide. Lord, help us to get a healthy vantage point, healthy viewpoint on peace. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those who are reviled and persecuted. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Lord, help us to stand firm for you, no matter what the consequences are. Help us to stand firm in your grace, your truth, your mercy, your meekness, your love to others. Lord, I present myself, I present each person in front of me as a living sacrifice. We're alive and we can do prayerfully what you want us to do. We are holy, we are acceptable in front of you. Lord, help us to walk in your grace and your truth today. Change our hearts because we are here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.